Did you know that during the month of July, you can receive 6 Archbooks for children on the best love parables of Jesus for less than $10? Find out more about this 6-book series, The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, for children ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. I think this is pretty big news, especially should it come to pass the way that many are reporting it will. The Church of England, an official state church, the Church of England, which is kind of at the heart and the center of the universe that is worldwide Anglicanism, about 77 million Christians worldwide, will this next week take up again, after several attempts, take up again, after almost 20 years of debating this, whether or not women ought to be bishops. Now, women have been priests since, 20 years? Yes, 20 years in the Church of England. What difference would it make if women became bishops? And could such a woman bishop in the Church of England actually become the Archbishop of Canterbury, the titular head of worldwide Anglicanism? Joining us to answer some of these questions, Bishop Keith Ackerman. He's a regular guest and he's a former bishop for the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It is a joy always to be with you. Thank you.
Bishop, the Church of England has ordained women to the priesthood since 1994. There have been several attempts, really over the course of about 20 years, I guess, to try and get women bishops in the Church of England. What has prevented it before?
Well, it's a very complex situation for American viewers to a large extent to imagine what a state church is like. Individual denominations and communions in this country can adopt just about whatever they want within the confines of their particular constitutions. But in the Church of England, with it being a state church, it means that something that is approved by the General Synod of the Church of England must also go to Parliament. And so that would be part of the complexity. In addition, besides it going to Parliament, that by implication involves the monarchy.
So it's a political as well as theological issue in the purest sense of those two terms.
It really is. So put it a little differently, what it means is there will be some people ultimately who will be having to be faced with approving this measure in Parliament who themselves either don't care because they're not even Christians or would find it impossible because of the fact that they are Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox or Anglican.
Now, let's make sure that we are distinguishing between Church of England, per se, and the Anglican Communion. How would you draw that distinction, Bishop?
Well, at this point, it would be safe to say that there are 38 provinces in the Anglican Communion. And it's what we call interdependence, meaning that a province ought not to do something that other provinces would not do. But in reality, the Archbishop of Canterbury really functions as what we would call primus inter pares, or a first among equals. So that would mean that the Church of England has no more authority than, let us say, the province of Nigeria in the grand scheme of the Anglican Communion. But as it relates to the Church of England, if something is adopted in England, that does not mean that it will be adopted by the rest of the Anglican Communion.
Where does the Archbishop of Canterbury stand on this?
Well, it's an intriguing question. First of all, the Archbishop of Canterbury is a relatively new bishop, let alone a relatively new archbishop. And he's one of the first Archbishops of Canterbury in history to have had a career before he became a priest. In his case, it was a business career, and he's noted for being a man who has been engaged in conciliation and reconciliation. In fact, a great deal of that conciliation has been done when he was in the business world in the Global South. So where he stands is difficult for me to fathom, first of all, because he would tend to come out of a more evangelical perspective. And most evangelicals in the Church of England would oppose this measure on the basis of headship. Most Anglo-Catholics would oppose this measure on the basis of it being impossible to imagine that the feminine symbol of the Church, the bride, could have as a representative of Christ a female, because therefore it does not contain complementarity that the Scriptures talk about.
What role do you think feminist influence, both in the case of the Church of England being a state church, both political and theological, plays in the, well, at least the press is reporting this as a near certainty, that the 8 votes or so that we're holding against this in 2013 have all been swayed and that there will be female bishops. What role for feminism in this?
Well, I think it's a very large role. And I have to recognize that to a large extent, what this means is a culturally conditioned decision may very well be made on the basis of pragmatism devoid of any theological reasoning. I have attempted to extract from anything that I've read from over there anything that would appear to be a theological or biblical, and I must confess that if there is some, it's very well hidden.
What would you, how would you describe Southern Hemisphere Anglicans? Obviously, many of them, although associated, not part of the Church of England. What would you say their voice in this has been over the last 20 years?
I would say that the vast majority of them are finding the Church of England to be less and less of a dominant influence. To put it in another way, from the colonial days, a number of those churches in the Southern Hemisphere would have thought of themselves as being extensions of the church in England. But I would have to say that's become increasingly less the case. And that's because they see a faith that was taken to those countries that now doesn't even seem to exist any longer in the country that sent it.
What do you think the result of the vote on Monday is going to be? Do you think it will be? Do you think it's a fait accompli? Do you think it will be female bishops in the Church of England?
I fear that that's going to be the case. And the reason I fear that is because virtually everything written about it could easily be written about any secular organization, meaning that when we are engaged in the whole exercise of discernment, what it means is we seriously and sincerely seek the will of God. Discernment, however, does not mean having a deal cut for the purpose of being able to protect certain people whose consciences may be offended, and then asking God what he thinks about it. It appears to me that what is happening here, a great deal more work has been done on the sociological, pragmatic, and political side, and then in effect saying to God, we hope you like what we've done.
If there is a vote to approve female bishops in the Church of England this next week, is there anything in terms of, as you said, the political and theological, is there anything ecclesiastically or parliamentary that would prevent such a female bishop, should she be elevated, to become the Archbishop of Canterbury?
There would absolutely be no reason why that could not happen. To really put it into the context, we have to remember that it's the Archbishop of Canterbury not only who serves as first among equals, but as a type of advisor to the crown. And it also means that the crown is now put in the very awkward position, perhaps, of having to have a woman on the list whenever it's presented for consideration. So it's going to be a constitutional mess. In addition to that, it is the Archbishop of Canterbury who crowns the monarch. And the question as to whether the royal family has determined this is a good thing or not is something that I will not be able to comment on at this time. But it is a very, very different era, and I'm afraid that what it does is it addresses two divergent groups. group number one, who cares what the Church of England does? We don't go to church anyway, because England has one of the lowest percentage of attendance population-wise that one can find in the Western world. And the second would be, finally, we're able to get what we want so that we can accomplish all that makes us a complete, open, and wonderful European nation.
Now, this has certainly been the case, although it's not a state church. It appears as though both female ordination, then female bishops, and finally in the Episcopal Church here in America, a female presiding bishop, has all been part of a larger move to modernize, in the worst sense of the term, Anglicanism in the United States. Is it a
yeah.
parallel? Do we see now the Church of England moving closer to the province, the American province of the Anglican Communion, in that way and more?
Absolutely. In fact, it was just years behind. 1976 in the United States was the approval for women to be ordained to the priesthood. 1992 is approved in the Church of England. It was just a matter of time before all of this would be able to occur. So does it? It certainly does. But again, the irony is if one looks at the 38 provinces of the Anglican Communion, the question at hand is, which provinces are shrinking most rapidly? The answer is the Church in Canada, the Church in the United States, and the Church in England. Nothing even as desperate as this, which is what it is, will be able to win souls for Christ, because all the focus has been on the sociology and the issue of equality.
And what message, finally, Bishop, with about 30 seconds, what message would permitting female bishops in the Church of England send to the rest of Anglicanism, both hoped-for allies in America and that Southern Hemisphere Anglicanism we discussed before? What would be the message from the Church of England?
The message will be, we have determined what's best for you. This will be indeed a dead end for communication with many of the largest provinces in the Anglican Communion. But the ecumenical implications are even more severe because of the overwhelming growth of the Roman Catholic Church in England. The contribution to the growth of the Roman Catholic Church in this regard will occur. Many Anglicans have gone, many more will go. But then there's the next question, what will the relationship be between the Church of England and Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism? I think we'll see fewer ecumenical endeavors going on once this is approved.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is a former bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois, and a regular guest bishop. It's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, and God bless you and all the people who listen in.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of today's Issues, Etc., on this Friday afternoon, July the 11th, with Wesley Smith talking about National Public Radio host Diane Rehm and her thoughts on physician-assisted suicide.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.